Hello, this is a Daily Tech, and today I'm sharing some more tech news with you. It's been really interesting, so do stick around and listen or watch the whole thing. Also, all the articles I talk about will be in the description, assuming that all works. It didn't work yesterday for some reason. But yeah, so let's just get right into it. Firstly, Intel's high-end gaming GPU sparks into life, and it's rumored to challenge Nvidia's RTX 3070. Of course, do take the 3070 speculation with a hefty dose of condiments, though, as it nicely says here on this article by TechRadar. So Intel has flipped the switch and officially powered on its high-end discrete Xe graphics card, known as the DG2. So the news came from CEO Bob Swan in an Intel earnings call following its latest financial results. As reported by Seeking Alpha, our first discrete GPU, DG1, is shipping now and will be in systems for multiple OEMs later in quarter four. We also powered our next generation GPU for client DG2 based on our Xe high performance gaming architecture. This product will take our discrete graphics capability up the stack into the enthusiast segment. So in other words, this is Intel's heavyweight gaming Xe HPG card, as opposed to mainstream model. And now it's in a working state, but it has got a lot of development to go through still. So the DG1 card, which as mentioned is shipping now, was first powered on this manner back in October 2019, to give you some context. So we could be seeing DG2 at this stage next year, possibly. Of course, the other big news is that the DG1 will be in products on shelves later in 2020, known as the Intel Iris Xe Max. This discrete graphics card for laptops. Yeah, and we've already seen it launched by some manufacturers, an example Acer's Swift 3X. It will also come for Tiger Lake Mobile CPU and Iris Xe Max graphics. So, needless to say, we can't wait to see how the GPU performs, as you obviously would. Intel aren't exactly known for making GPUs, they're discrete, so it will be nice to see what they've done with that. So it would seem that Intel is already providing some idea of the specs for the Xe HPG card, given that the DG2 GPU recently popped up into system requirements on Steam for horror game Amnesia Rebirth, as well as a recommended graphics solution. So hopefully that's a good sign that when it comes to development timeframe for Intel's DG2 card. A PC gamer, which spotted the announcement, points that elsewhere, GPU Grapevine, leaker Moore's Law is dead, has claimed on YouTube that the DG2 could be pitched at around the same performance as the RTX 3070. So it could be decently powerful. So it's really interesting. I mean, Intel making a GPU obviously was going to happen. Surprised it took this long. I say GPU making a discrete GPU. I mean, it seems like they've made some before, but this is like a proper gaming GPU. I think that's what it is meant to be. And it could be quite good. It could actually be a option that people do decide to go with, and I think that'd be quite cool to have an option for Intel GPUs. Next up, article by Forbes. Apple's massive iPhone 13 upgrade suddenly confirmed. So Apple's new iPhone 12 range launched with clear compromises in every model, but now Apple documentation has confirmed the first details of its next iPhone, and you might just want to leave out this upgrade. As this was first spotted on Twitter and subsequently confirmed by Mac Rumors, page 71 of Apple's settlement filing with Qualcomm following the pair's long-running legal battle reveals Apple's 5G plans for the next 4 years. Moreover, it specifically confirms that Apple will be using Qualcomm's radically upgraded X60 5G modem in 2021, which is what it reads, and it fixes the worst flaws in the iPhone 12 range. So the iPhone 12 models use Qualcomm's X55 5G modem, and this hardware not only carries a big price premium, but also high power drain and limited international support. It has forced Apple into multiple compromises with significant consequences. First was cost cutting. So the most high profile has been Apple's decision to remove EarPods as well as the wall charger from the boxes. Also saving costs by fitting smaller batteries across the range. And the last decision combined with the X55's high power draw means that tests have confirmed they deliver inferior battery life to predecessors, and they're not exactly known for amazing battery life. They've got a good battery life, but not exactly the best. Also, this would explain the absence of a 120Hz ProMotion display. And also, it's not supporting the fastest 5G millimeter wave on any iPhone 12 model outside the US, and multi-SIM 5G is not available. So a lot of compromises they did have to make. But the X60 changes everything. So unlike the X55, it can be integrated into a phone's main chipset, which saves space, reduces battery drain, and lowers cost. Compatible with 5G networks globally, supports dual SIM and even integrates both millimeter wave and sub 6 gigahertz, so a longer range 5G network simultaneously to delivering super fast performance. So all of this explains why the iPhone 13 reads like a wish list of everything we didn't get from the iPhone 12. We'll probably see a smaller notch in display Touch ID alongside with Touch ID, Face ID even, and also probably, what would you call it, maybe even a better ProMotion display. So while the iPhone 12 is a good upgrade, I would wait until at least the iPhone 13, even though that's going to take another year, but recommend waiting unless you really need an upgrade, in which case maybe get an older iPhone. But yeah, next up, article by Wearable, Xiaomi Mi Watch Color Sports Edition, the budget smartwatch that we've been waiting for. As the smartwatch fans outside of China may finally be able to get their hands on a heavy-hitting budget smartwatch, so the Xiaomi Mi Color, Xiaomi Mi Watch Color Sports Edition, which is a very hefty name, has been officially revealed. So at Xiaomi's big smartphone launch event last month, it revealed a global launch was being prepped for an international version of its Mi Watch. So it showed off a few images of a device that looks a lot different to the original Mi Watch, and a bit different to the even cheaper Mi Watch Color, which both launched in China earlier this year. We now know the images were all of the new Mi Watch Color Sports Edition, which adds the SpO2 sensor into the mix. So the good news is that the price is on the low side. It will cost 699 yuan when it goes on sale in China next month. Global prices are still being revealed, but I mean, a price tag suggests that the price tag could be around 100 US dollars when it hits stores. And I mean, for the features, you're getting a 454x454 AMOLED display. It weighs 52.5 grams and boasts a 1.3-inch screen. It's also packed with sensors for all the sports-based tracking, like heart rate, GPS, GLONASS, and SpO2, blood oxygen. So it's not going to be dominated by Apple and Fitbit, even in these things. And also, it's cheaper as well, forgot to mention. I mean, that's obvious. Also 117 exercise modes, including running, yoga, boxing, triathlon, and highly intensity interval training. It's also swim friendly thanks to a 5 ATM water resistant rating. So that's really good. Also has a 420 mAh battery cell for a promised 2-week lifespan on a single charge. Of course, obviously that'll take a hit once you start ramping up the sensor use, especially GPS. Oops, just like that. So yeah. So it's cool to see that it's getting an international launch. It's a very capable smartwatch for just fitness tracking. I feel like people use it. Seemingly the execution works quite well. This could be really good. Article by TechRadar. Oh, I hate that I had to turn ads back onto here. I don't mind the ads necessarily. I don't mind supporting it. I know ads do help. But I mean, it's just annoying. It makes everything lag and I have to actually click the pause button instead of just hitting it. It takes more time and it's not very nice. I prefer to have a cleaner look just while I'm recording. If I'm like going to read these on my own, I'll probably turn it off anyway. So Amazon Fire TV Sticks, and I'll turn your television into an Echo Show smart display. So Amazon Fire TV devices are getting a brand new update to enhance their interface. And it seems to be taking a lesson from Amazon's range of Echo Show smart displays, such as the Echo Show 5 and Echo Show 10. So the new upgrade includes what Amazon calls visual experiences on Fire TV, meaning a paired Alexa device can use your Fire TV streamer to display music, local search, calendar, smart home, cameras, to-do lists, and like weather forecast, all of that stuff. So whether your flatmates or family may complain if you're constantly bringing up the weather forecast or trivia questions during a movie, you may find it useful to have this kind of smart display functionality on your TV, especially you won't need to buy a smart display to get it, which is really cool. And it should be more intuitive to navigate the Fire TV interface via voice too, with new commands available such as jumping to the watch list or home tab. It will require an Amazon Echo or similar to pick up the hands-free voice commands, but means you won't find yourself scrambling for the remote every time you want to find out something. It's a similar idea that was touted by Facebook with the ported TV webcam, which attaches to the upper bezel of a television and plugs in via HDMI, turning your television into a portable smart display. It wasn't perfect though, with poor camera quality and shaky face tracking feature, not to mention the stress of letting Facebook put a camera in your living room, which they're not exactly known for being trusting, let's just put it that way. So, yeah. Putting really any camera in your living room, I wouldn't recommend. Well, I would recommend, I just would be a bit careful about it. To the point where obviously you have to put all the camera closing stuff in it so the camera's closed, but yeah. Who knows, Facebook could be watching you. Probably aren't, but even then, not even Facebook watching you. Hackers, if maybe, or like viruses that could get onto it, that's possible as well. Yeah. Article by Metro. PlayStation 5 coloured faceplates are on sale now, but they're not from Sony. So of course you get a load of like D-brand stuff, you get like stuff like that obviously that you can put on to your consoles, and it's coming out for the PlayStation 5 now, which is cool. I love what you can do with third-party stuff, it's amazing. So a series of unofficial, and yeah, the modding market is really good. I absolutely love it. So when the PlayStation 5 was first revealed, not everyone was on board with the crisp white colouring. Especially as if you have like a maybe darker theme in your room, something like that. So obviously, I ran up the stairs, I had to pause for a second, I had to run up and down the stairs. It's quite big stairs as well, so yeah. Anyway, sorry. So once it was discovered that the console's faceplates could be removed, which obviously I think we found out in a teardown video properly, I mean, I think people worked out, many hoped this meant Sony would release aftermarket plates. With different colours or patterns, and maybe they could do that still. I mean, it's not unheard of. But right now, with an unofficial, albeit with an unofficial capacity, courtesy of Fab, but I can pre-order exactly that. Sorry, I probably should read that. So, according to its website, the plates have been sold for £32, which isn't an awful price. I mean, it's a bit high, but I mean, you're getting a whole new plate there. And there are currently 5 available colours: cherry red, chromatic, indigo blue, jungle camo, and matte black, which is probably the one that will be most popular. And of course, the last one, though, matte black, is going to be limited edition, which is a bit of a shame, seeing as that's probably really popular, which I think is the issue there for them. There are options for both the standard and digital, so you can order whichever version you've got. Also, the shipping policy states that the aim is to have pre-orders delivered before the PlayStation 5's release in America, November the 12th, meaning that they should arrive within 5 to 7 days after that date. So, you should be able to swap them out as soon as you get it, really, so you're not going to have to deal with it for long. The company adds that it will offer full refunds as well if you're unhappy with the product, provided you request it within 10 days of receiving your order, so it's really nice. This company seems really good, to be fair. Third-party accessories are nothing new, and given people's desire for different colours, this is a smart move in PlayStation part. And I mean, they could still make real ones as well. At least these official faceplates are more affordable to the alternative to the also unofficial golden PlayStation 5, which costs nearly £8,000, which is a bit expensive, to be honest. But yeah, I think Sony might one day do this, but I don't think they will. I don't know, I just don't think they would. It's one of those things that they could, they probably won't, but they might. So yeah. Next up by Video Games Chronicle, Microsoft is investigating problems launching Xbox One and PC games. So according to the Xbox Server Status website, the issues were first reported at approximately 10:48 a.m. And 1:40 p.m. and 6:40 p.m. UK. So different times, I don't know, some time in the day. So we are aware that some users are encountering issues with launching their games, Microsoft tweeted, and our engineers are investigating, as they obviously would. At 12:11 p.m. PT, Microsoft updated its Xbox Live Service status page to confirm additional issues users are experiencing. These include buying downloadable items and using prepaid cards or codes for DCL or Xbox Live subscriptions. However, though, they have all been resolved. Just something to talk about here. So as part of Microsoft's regular Xbox Live free play days, which lets Xbox Live Gold and Xbox Game Pass Ultimate members play full titles for free for a limited time, Users can now try UFC 4, Destroy All Humans, and Fallout 76, which is quite cool. So UFC 4 and Destroy All Humans are available for free until October the 25th, while Fallout 76 is available until October the 26th, so an extra day there. However, Fallout 76 is also free to play on PS4 and PC as well, which is nice. Microsoft have recently begun rolling out a new Xbox dashboard as part of its October update for Xbox One consoles. So of course all of them get it, like every Xbox, so the Xbox One and even the Xbox X and S as well. Which is quite cool that we're updating all of them. I think it looks quite nice, I think, but I guess it's all opinion on that. Also, the new Xbox UX will also be available for the Xbox Series X and S at launch, and for Xbox Game Pass on PC and all Xbox Mobile apps. Like, the Xbox Mobile has been updated and it looks so much better now. Second before last, I guess. I don't know why I'm saying that, but I can. This is by Tom's Hardware. AMD's $299 5600X spotted flying past all Intel CPUs in single-threaded performance. So when AMD announced its M3-based Ryzen 5000 processors 2 weeks back now, well, that was quite a while ago, the biggest shocker was the increase in IPC of 19%. This means serious increase in single-threaded and multi-threaded performance, and now benchmarks are surfacing showing these gains. As to today, AMD's Ryzen 5 5600X was listed in the single-threaded Passmark CPU performance charts via video cards, and it's found all the way to the, at the top. Above even the Intel Core i9-10900K by quite a significant margin, which is crazy. I mean, this is only the 5600X. I hate to imagine what the 5950X could do. But of course, do take this unverified benchmarks with a pinch of salt. Assuming that this is obviously correct though, then this is really cool. So, where the Intel CPUs show very minor gains from chip to chip, the AMD chip I don't have any other competition by staggering 320 points, which is quite a lot for this benchmark, which is unlike any other improvements from CPU performance we've seen in years. But the list isn't complete yet. We've still got the 5800X, 5900X, and 5950X. And given that these all have max boost clocks that climb up in 100 MHz, chances are AMD will be dominating the charts for some time to come until Intel releases some new chips. So the Ryzen 5 5600X is AMD's most affordable Zen 3 option that's set to land with this release, packing 6 cores, 12 threads, and a base clock of 3.7 GHz and boosts up to 4.6 as well, which is great. All in a 65W TDP package. Of course, this is great for 1080p gaming and even 1440p and possibly 4K as well, I believe. You can probably get all this, but you need obviously a better GPU for that. A lot of that's GPU-based, but you still need a decent CPU. I think it's going to be a great CPU, to be honest. At $299, it's going to be in the higher end computers, which is still an amazing CPU, I'd say. So these chips are clearly dominating, which is amazing. But finally, by Express. So Android warning, do not download these 19 popular apps from the Google Play Store. I think the scary part is the fact they're popular. So I think this is just a good thing to go over for the last thing, just about obviously, because of what it is. So Android users should be on the lookout for 19 vicious apps that could turn their devices into an advert-filled mess. That happened onto one of my old Android, to my old Android phone. It wasn't too bad, it was only every now and then, but it was still annoying. That's the warning from the security team at Avast, who said they have discovered the threat lurking in Google's official Play Store. A total of 21 adware-packed apps were found to be targeting Android users, with 3 already having been removed by Google, so there's obviously 18, but apparently there's 19, I don't know. However, Avast says there's a further 19 that are currently under investigation and remain available to download. Oh, right, so these are the ones that... Right, okay, so this fresh alert targets users who are looking for fun game to play with. The title's promising to virtually let your car fly across the road, trees, hills, to shoot criminals from a helicopter, for household enthusiasts, allow players to virtually iron their clothes. Random stuff like that that some people enjoy. So once you do click download, and they're downloaded, hidden ads Trojan sets out displaying intrusive ads that can even launch these annoying messages when the original app is closed. And to make matters worse, cyber crooks often use a stealth tactic where they are able to hide the app icon, making it hard to find and delete as well, which is awful. So speaking about this new threat, I said Jacob Vava, well, I don't know, I can't. Accent, I don't say it wrong. Threat analyst at Avast said developers of adware are increasingly using social media channels like regular marketers would. This time users reported they were targeted with ads promoting the games on YouTube. So in September we saw adware spread via TikTok, and the popularity of these social networks make them attractive to advertising platform, also for cyber criminals, to target a younger audience as well who might not be as concerned about what they are. So if you're concerned about this new threat, these are some applications that you probably shouldn't download. And of course, if they seem to be a bit odd, don't download them. Just be careful. As you have Shoot Them, Car Crush, Rolling Scroll, Helicopter Attack, Assassin Legend, 2020 New Helicopter Shoot, and Rugby Pass. These just seems like stuff like younger children would download. Flying Skateboard, Iron It, Shooting Run, Plant Monster, Find Hidden, Find Different, it's 2020 new. It's those titles that just really are not, that you can really tell would make some little kid download. Oh, it's a new one from 2020, I'll download it kind of thing. Rotate Shape and Jump Jump. And then for Find the Differences puzzle game, Swayman, Desert Against, Money Destroyer, Cream Trip, and Props Rescue. So, yeah. Avast also released advice on how to recognize adware apps with this firm, saying generally adware is a type of malicious software that bombards the user with excessive ads in and outside an app. Applications have many 5 and 1 star reviews. The reviews often cite low functionality and or excessive ads, or are overly enthusiastic and positive. So if there's loads of lower ones, then don't get it. But if they're very even, maybe, I don't know, it should make sense to you. I mean, you should be able to work it out. I mean, if you're listening to this episode, you're probably not a younger child, so yeah, just you should be able to work it out. Anyways, I do hope you enjoyed today's episode. If you did, please consider subscribing and turning the bell notifications if you're on YouTube. That way you'll be able to see all the latest tech news by me. Also, if you're on anything like Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, there should be a heart or follow button, something like that. Do click that and you'll be able to see the latest tech news as well. Anyways, have a good day.